Today on The Journey.
So when it comes to marriage, doesn't it make sense to get a little practice? Why not take a test drive? Marriage is serious stuff. Why not make sure the relationship is solid?
Living together, taking a test drive before making a commitment, can yield important information, but only if your intended is a car. People are a bit more complicated, and marriage isn't a trade-in institution. If you want a marriage to last, you'll need better ways of ensuring a lifelong relationship. Ron Moore will tell you why in today's broadcast. Also, we're offering for a gift of any amount Ron's booklet, Created for Oneness. It offers a biblical framework for marriage and sexuality. This is a must-have resource in our post-Christian culture. You can get your copy by calling 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help further this ministry of developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with Test Drive, Why Living Together Tears Couples Apart on The Journey.
Some reasons people choose to live together. Now, I know there are many, but let me give you three main reasons. The first one is compatibility. Can we get along? Pamela Smock is a researcher at the University of Michigan, and listen to what she says. Cohabitating young adults tell us that they are doing so because it could be unwise to marry without first living together in a society marked by high levels of divorce. For many people, marriage is now the best relationship and is highly valued as a relationship. But it's wait until we know the relationship is good and solid, then we'll get married. Now think about it. Everything in life has a practice time before you do it for real. So when it comes to marriage, doesn't it make sense to get a little practice? Why not take a test drive? Marriage is serious stuff. Why not make sure the relationship is solid? Compatibility is one reason. Here's another reason. Convenience. Amanda Hahn's 28 years old. She lives in San Francisco with her boyfriend. And here's what she says. Owning 3 toothbrushes and finding that they are always in the wrong house when you're getting ready for bed wears on you. Moving in together has simplified life. You hear what she's saying. Life is complicated. Life is busy. So let's just simplify things. There's also the economic convenience. And certainly there's convenience of a ready and willing sexual partner. Here's a third reason. Scarred and scared. Travis Anderson and his girlfriend have lived together for 2.5 years in St. Paul, Minnesota. They plan to get married this coming March. His parents are divorced, and he says, I don't ever want to go through that again. Anderson said, quote, I definitely don't want to be the person who had to tell the child he was moving out. So some people are scarred by what they've been through as a child, and they're scared that that's going to happen to them. So for these reasons, and I'm sure many more, compatibility, convenience, being scarred and scared, many couples choose to live together, 50% choose to live together before marriage. Here's the problem. Look at these cohabitating statistics. First one, the majority of couples who live together either break up or marry within 2 years. So cohabitating relationships have about a 2-year life expectancy, either breaking up or marriage. So they get married. That's good, right? Here's the problem. Staying married, the odds are against them. Here's the second thing. The rate of divorce in cohabitating couples is 50% higher than couples who have not lived with each other before marriage. So taking the test drive actually makes it 50% higher that you're not going to stay together. One study did this. After 10 years, only 15 out of 100 cohabitating couples are still together. So research is clear. Practically speaking, living together doesn't work. What I want to do is to explain theologically why it doesn't work. So take your Bibles and turn to the Song of Songs, Song of Solomon. In this song, we find a biblical love package. Now look at chapter 5, verse 16. His mouth is sweetness itself. He is altogether lovely. This is my lover. This is my friend. The woman first describes her husband as her, in the Hebrew, Ria, her companion, her friend, her partner. See, a healthy, God-honoring Christian relationship does not begin the evening in a bar and end the evening in a bed. Friendship is foundational to the biblical love package. Now, this shouldn't be surprising to us because God Himself said what? Remember? It's not good for the man to be alone. I will make a perfect companion, a perfect friend, a perfect partner for him. And see, when you have a real friend in your spouse, you have a loyal companion. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend, a ria, Hebrew, loves at all times. And when you have a real friend in your spouse, you have someone just to have a lot of fun with. And that's very important in the marriage relationship. Researchers say this, among all the variables, the amount of fun partners had together emerged as the strongest factor in understanding the overall marital happiness. So biblical love has as its foundation friendship. But it certainly takes more than just being friends. Here's a second part of the biblical love package. It's the Hebrew word yahav, the walls of the relationship, the building blocks of the relationship. And the word yahav means a deep affection of the heart, a heart bent toward a person. You can think of nothing else than that person. You want to be with that person. Again, look at Song of Songs, chapter 2, verse 5. Strengthen me with raisins, refresh me with apples, for I am faint with yahav. I am lovesick. My heart can think of nothing else besides him. And then in chapter 3, several times, she says, in chapter 3, verse 1, all night long on my bed, I look for the one my heart, what? Yahav loves. She says that again. I will search for the one my heart loves. In verse 3, have you seen the one my heart loves? And then verse 4, when I found the one my heart loves. Yahav. Yahav is head over heels in love. Yahav is a love of commitment. Yahav is a love of covenant. It's a love of vows. It's a love that says, I want to be with you forever. Let's plan our future together. Let's have children together. Let's grow old together. Let's write our story together. Let's make a vow to God with a room full of witnesses. And let's have them hold us accountable that we are going to be with each other in good times, in bad, in sickness, and in health, for better or worse. And there's only one thing that can separate us. Death. Yahav is a loyal love of dedication. So you have Ria, the spirit love, friendship. You have Yahav, heart love, commitment. And there's one more thing in the biblical love package. It's the chandelier swinging, earth shaking, mind blowing, love making. The Hebrew word dod. The Hebrew word dod means to caress, to fondle, to rock, to embrace, to consummate. It refers to the physical act of intimacy. And all through the Song of Solomon's, dod comes up over and over again. In fact, it's used a lot in the Song of Solomon's. And it's the word lover. He is my lover. He is my dod. If you were a Hebrew man and your wife mentioned the word dod, a smile would immediately come over your face. That's the biblical love package, friendship. commitment and sexual intimacy. Think about that. That's what the Bible says a relationship is built on. Friendship, commitment, and sexual intimacy. And when you have those things in a relationship, it's like an adhesive that nothing can tear apart. Many things will try. Many things will test your friendship. Many things will test your commitment. Many things will test physical intimacy. But in the end, nothing can defeat it. Now, with those three words, with those three parts, turn to Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. And here we have the institution of marriage. Genesis 2, 24. Now remember that Moses is writing the book. Moses obviously was not at creation. So God is revealing to him what happened at creation. So Moses is writing this historical narrative of creation. Now here's what he does. He says, for this reason, he breaks the narrative of the past to explain how this thing works in the present. So Moses is saying, that is why here now that a man will leave his father and his mother. Now what part of that biblical love package is that referred to? The friendship part, right? To this point, the man, allegiance, has been with his parents. They have brought him into the world. They have cared for him. But now that allegiance changes to his ria, his friend, his companion. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be united to his wife. That word united to means to stick to something and not let go. It's only used two other times in Scripture. One time it's used for the skin clinging to the bones. Another time it's used for a warrior who has fought so hard he can't let go of his sword. His hand is frozen to his sword. And Moses said, for this reason the man leaves his father and mother and he's united to his wife. What part of the love package does that relate to? Covenant, the commitment. They're sticking with each other. They're not going to let go. There were two parts of the Jewish marriage ceremony. The first was called the Kedushin, and it was the engagement. It was the promise of marriage. And then there was the huppah, or the actual wedding ceremony. There was a public ceremony of celebration and commitment. Just like Christian weddings today is a public ceremony of commitment and celebration. And they will become one flesh. At the end of the feast, the bride was escorted to the bridal chambers by her parents. And the husband and wife consummated their union, a one flesh relationship. So you see the three parts of a relationship we see in the Song of Songs is right there in the institution of marriage in Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. Friendship. The man will leave his father and mother. Commitment. They'll be united to each other. And sexual intimacy. The two will become one flesh. Okay. Now, why does living together not work? Because it doesn't contain all the components of the biblical love package. It's an attempt at friendship focused on sex without commitment. Let's be together. Let's move in together. We'll have sexual intimacy together, but there's no long-term commitment. It rips the heart out of biblical love. See, in cohabitation, the heart of commitment is cut out. So loyal friendship is impossible because there's no guarantee that you're going to be here tomorrow, the next month, or the next year. And without the emotion of commitment, then, sex becomes just something you do together. And when sex is something you do together without the friendship and without the commitment, besides being way out of God's bounds, it never satisfies as God intended it to. You know, all the research shows, in a living together situation, commitment is absent and friendship is compromised. So the most dynamic thing in the relationship is sexual intimacy. In fact, statistics say that cohabitating couples have sex more often than singles or even married couples, because that's the primary thing in their relationship. It's reduced to a physical act. But in the marriage package, sex is a sacred union, exclusive to marriage, faithfulness, a continued symbol of commitment. Every time a married couple comes together in intimacy, they remind themselves of a promise they made to love each other, to cherish each other, to care for each other. They're committed for the long haul. So anxiety of failure is diminished. They have a future to mature and grow in the relationship. And that's why in every secular study, sexual intimacy in the context of marriage is always the most satisfying. And if there's anything lonelier than being in bed alone, it's waking up to someone you have just had sexual intimacy with and doesn't love you enough to make a long-term commitment to you. And even when marriage occurs, the foundation is so fragile and the respect for marriage so weak, 85 times out of 100, you're not going to be together after 10 years. So what do you do? First of all, young men and women, singles, God's plan is for marriage. It never, ever includes taking a test drive. It is theologically wrong and practically, it just doesn't work. If you're living together, you need to stop. Whatever your reason, it's not biblical. You're not experiencing anything close to a loving relationship. And your reason may seem rational, but bottom line, you're satisfying your natural lust instead of investing in a loving relationship. It doesn't work unless you do it God's way. Your reasons may seem rational, but they are not biblical. I'll only marry, our staff will only marry two believers. And so we have interviews, the future potential husband, a future potential wife. And in this day and age, one question we always ask is, are you living together? And if the answer is yes, we will not go through with the marriage unless they agree to separate for a period of time, usually 6 months to a year. I am not willing to pronounce you husband and wife if you're not willing to do it God's way. You say, Ron, we lived together before we got married and we beat the odds. If that's the case, you better get on your knees every morning and thank God for His grace in your relationship. You say, we live together and we're experiencing problems. Let us know so we can get you some help. Remember, 15% do make it. And we want to help you be part of that 15%. We've seen throughout the study that the gift of sexuality in marriage that God has given is exciting and it's exhilarating. It's a great way to experience love. But one thing we got to keep reminding ourselves, it's not the only way. In fact, it's not even the highest way. You see, sooner or later, every part of human love, even when it's built around friendship and commitment and sexual intimacy, every part of human love will disappoint us. Friendship will be strained. Commitment will be tested. And every lover's touch will fail to satisfy. See, deep in the human heart, we want something more. We long for something more. We desire not just a lover, but we desire the lover of our souls. And don't ever expect a person to meet the need that can only be met by God Himself. Don't put the unrealistic expectation on your spouse to do for you what only God Himself can do. So I don't know where you are in your relationship. I only know this. One way works. God's way.
And please stay with us. Ron returns in a few moments with a preview of our next broadcast. Do you remember the traditional standard in marriage and family? It used to be a man and a woman marrying, having a family, and for better or worse, joined as one as long as they both should live. Today, that standard is in tatters. In the United States, 50% of all marriages end in divorce. Many couples in our country have concluded that living together before matrimony makes good sense, and Americans are deeply divided over the issue of same-sex marriage. Not surprisingly, those conflicts are challenging Christian belief. So in order to contend for biblical marriage, we first must understand what the Bible has to say about it. Only when its truth is fully grasped will we have the confidence to pass it on to our children and grandchildren. To help you with that, Ron Moore has written the booklet, Created for Oneness. It offers a biblical framework for marriage and sexuality. We'll send it to you for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Your gift today will help keep the journey on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Now here's Ron with a look at our next time together.
Back in 1993, I was preaching through a series on family, and I was going to cover this topic. And right before I went up, a couple approached me, a strong Christian couple, and they said, "Ron, we're very interested in what you're going to say tonight. Our son is gay, and he's a great son, and we love him very much." And I didn't change at all what I was going to say, but I can promise you that I pray, "Lord, help me speak the truth with grace. Help me speak with gentleness and respect." And just a few years ago, I received a call from that couple. Their son had died, and they asked me to speak at his funeral. Our prayer was the same. "God, please enable me to write and deliver a message of truth and grace." See, most men and women who struggle in this area fight a silent, lonely battle. And because of shame and guilt and fear of rejection, they can't even talk about it to the people they love. What I want us to do is just to camp out in God's Word. And we're going to see again God's design and His intention for sexuality. And then we're going to talk about what it means to develop a Christ-like framework for responding to this area of sexual temptation.
We hope you can join us for that message next time. Also, please remember to get your copy of Ron's booklet, which shares a biblical framework for marriage and sexuality. It's titled Created for Oneness, and it's yours for a gift of any amount when you visit ronmoore.org. Again, that web address is ronmoore.org. Or you may call 724-731-2018. That's 724-731-2018. Plus, we invite you to have a look at our church website at biblechapel.org. There you'll find information about our worship services and special events, along with Ron Moore's recent sermons, devotional thoughts, and podcasts. Again, that address is biblechapel.org, biblechapel.org. And if the journey has made a difference in your spiritual life, won't you invite your friends and family to listen as well? We'll thank you, and we think they will too. Finally, please keep in mind that the journey relies on your generous donations to remain on the air, developing followers of Jesus Christ. Your gift today will be deeply appreciated. You can give at ronmoore.org, or you may call 724-731-2018. Thanks for listening, and we invite you to join Ron and Tunch next time as we walk together on The Journey.